Cars today are built to last, but how they look is up to you, and that's where Maaco comes in. They specialize in cosmetic repairs. Let's say it's affordable paint jobs to fixing those annoying dents and dings. Whatever it is, Maaco has you covered. With more Americans keeping their cars longer, now's the time to protect your investment and keep it looking sharp for years. Get started. Visit your local Maaco today. Get the free estimate and see how easy it is to bring new life to your ride. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, Jeremy Zachas of New South Wales, and this is our creature segment. We begin with a warning. We're going to talk about reptiles, one particular reptile that's as venomous as you will ever meet. I've joked with Jeremy about every creature in Australia is trying to kill you. Well, this one is. It's called a red-bellied black snake, but the surprise is not that it's full of venom. It's the size of the creature. Jeremy, I'm looking at this looks like a python that's been painted. What is it?
You're right, John. This is a red-bellied black snake. Now, these are one of the most venomous snakes here in Australia. They're only second to the Australian brown snake, which will pretty much kill you within half an hour to 24 hours if it gets its fangs into you. The red-bellied black snake, though, is generally one of these snakes that hangs out around waterways and in tall grass where, you know, you can be walking around a pond or a lake and you'll never see it before you tread on it, and it arcs up and will try and bite you. But this snake is really distinctive because it literally does have a really red belly. So if you've ever seen one in public or in a zoo, you'll see it's got black on top and red underneath. So very, very menacing. But what's happened this week, John, is while we're relatively used to red-bellied black snake stories now, and I mean, I've had a few around this area too where I live because we have all the waterways. In Queensland, they've actually found a monster red-bellied black snake. It's one of those events that you just thought you'd never read about. Now, this actual snake was only about 1.2 meters long. So we're talking, you know, it's only about 4 or 5 feet. So not overly long. But what made this creature so unusual was it was so fat. It was an enormously fat snake, and it was about the size of a human thigh. So we're talking maybe 6 to 7 inch diameter here. And this is a snake that normally is only 2 or 3 inches in diameter. So there's really no explanation yet, and certainly the snake catcher that picked it up, it was just absolutely surprised. He had never seen anything like this. But in the Sunshine Coast of Queensland, which is where the snake was picked up, I think we're wondering now whether because of the mouse population, the mouse plague that's gone through there, the floods and all this, you know, snake population booms, we're suddenly getting super snakes. I mean, this is a fearsome creature, John. I mean, I don't like snakes at the best of time, but if we got python red-bellied black snakes out there, you know, my day's done.
This woman from Queensland said, I've seen 7 snakes in the past 2 weeks. Now, Jeremy, how do you handle a situation where you're coming down an Australian road and there's a snake in front of you? Do you get out of your car and say, shoo, shoo, get out of the way? Do you wait for it to cross the road? Do you call a snake catcher? What do you do? What are you supposed to do?
Well, you're supposed to go around at the start with. Certainly don't try and run over it because they do flick up underneath the vehicles and sometimes get caught up under the car. But you are supposed to actually call the snake catchers. And certainly in Queensland, here in New South Wales, and pretty much around Australia, you do have conservation phone numbers. So if it is in the wild, basically a wildlife officer will come and pick it up for you. But the one thing people should not do is get out of your car and try and shoo it away, because these things do move very rapidly. They actually are lightning quick when they need to be. So you can be on best intentions trying to shoo it off the road, but the thing may come back at you and try and bite you. So the advice is stay in your car, call the conservationist or call a snake catcher and just try and get the thing to safety if you can, but never, ever, ever approach it.
The Queensland Ambulance Service, this is a report from ABC News, Australia Broadcasting, said since September last year, there have been 856 snake bite incidents across the state of Queensland, 97 on the Sunshine Coast. The most recent was at Flaxton in the Sunshine Coast, hinterland, overnight when a woman in her 30s was taken to hospital after being bitten on her ankle. Now, these are carpet pythons, red-bellied black snakes, brown snakes, probably a few more varieties you've not told me because you don't want to frighten me. But it looks like you're raised to live with snakes, and the people of Queensland are ahead of you. They find it part of their wildlife. Is that how they think about it?
Very much so. And the difference between Queensland and here in New South Wales is Queensland does get a lot more pythons. Here in New South Wales, we mainly get the red-bellied blacks, the brown snakes, so just the venomous ones, but we don't have to worry so much about those pythons. But up in Queensland, because it's much more jungle, much more tropical areas, and pythons absolutely thrive, they tend to also get the pythons. And, I mean, we're talking about the venom, we're talking about those really dangerous venomous snakes, but, John, the pythons themselves will also do some harm because those little teeth, while they don't have venom in them, they will actually hurt when they latch on. And they can do some damage insofar as creating abrasions and cuts that do get infected. And people have nearly lost limbs from python bites because they don't get it properly cleaned or properly seen to. So these snake bites, while not all of them are venomous, python bites are just as dangerous as well. So, I mean, we grow up learning that all snakes are pretty much, you know, just dangerous.
Now, the aerial combatants, the ones who try to kill you from the air, Jeremy has instructed me that magpies, he has a family that he feeds, magpies during breeding season, which is springtime, attack anyone around them, whom anyone, including humans, buzz them. But Jeremy's seen something unusual driving. What did you see, Jeremy, about a magpie?
Well, John, it was today. I was in Narellan, which is a suburb just south of Sydney. Well, I should say this week. It was actually yesterday. And I was driving along and I pulled up to a set of traffic lights and I was just going about my business, just not really thinking about anything too serious. And all of a sudden, I noticed the car, two cars in front of me, there was this black bird flying low over it. And I was like, oh, what was that? Suddenly it does it again and again. And lo and behold, John, it was a magpie attacking a car at a traffic light. What I think happened and what I think I saw was that there is actually a magpie nest just on a tree next to the intersection. But this magpie, for whatever reason, thought this particular car, which wasn't the front car in the row, it was sort of one in the middle, posed a threat. So anyway, John, the long and short is a magpie attacking a car. And I mean, it actually started to make contact towards the end when the lights actually turned green. And I guess the car could escape from this this outward attack from a magpie. But honestly, John, they never cease to amaze me. These angry little creatures that just seem to have a lot of rage in them. They don't stop at anything.
Did the driver know he was being attacked?
You could actually see the driver in the front there. You could see sort of the head moving around. I don't think they knew exactly what it was at first, but it was doing low swoops over the front bonnet. So by the end of it, I think they were pretty much aware of what was happening. But at that point, you really can't do much except stay in your car. And I guess metal beats beak, but that magpie gave it a red hot go.
And the minor birds, they do not attack humans, right? Have you seen minors protecting their nests this last week?
Yes, actually, since we spoke about it last week, there have been a lot more minor birds around. Certainly, they are very much laying into the magpie, so they'll constantly be hounding them, attacking them. They have a high-pitched sort of a tweet or a twit as well, a twitter sort of a noise. That's when you know they're trying to attack a magpie. But they've also been having a go at our local crows as well. And plus, we do have some kookaburras around here too that have copped it as well from the minor bird. So the minor bird just has a chip on its shoulder. But ironically, I'll be taking the dogs for a walk. The minor birds will be just sitting on a fence and will happily just watch me go by and won't even bat an eyelid. So very much an anti-bird bird.
You know, Jeremy, this begins to resemble Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds. Have you ever seen that movie where the yes. birds transform themselves into a hostile alien force and attack anything that moves, including tearing a roof apart, trying to get at humans? So you live with minor birds who won't attack you, magpies who will attack you. I take a walk in the morning and I see the Mr. Crow overhead. Magpies are the corvid family. And I wave to him because he's just calling his team to justice, you know, with five calls in the morning. I don't know what I'd make of it if he was ready to attack me. They're big. Crows are big. Magpies are big. Now, one more creature. There was a news report of more than 200 pilot whales beaching themselves in Tasmania these last days. Most all of them died within X number of hours. Some of them might have been rescued. There was immediate response from a conservation team in Tasmania. Tasmania is off the southern coast of New South Wales, I believe. It's south of you. Is this unusual or regular for whales, pilot whales, any whale, to beach themselves in Tasmania?
It is unusual for the fact that it has occurred now, and there was a beaching last year as well. So what normally happens, John, is probably about every 3 to 5 years, we'll get a pod of whales that will beach themselves in Tasmania, because Tasmania being so far south in Australia, the very bottom part of Australia, They tend to be going, their migration route basically travels just south of the Tasmanian coastline. And for whatever reason, from time to time, the navigation gets messed up and they do beach themselves. But I think what was more unusual was just the sheer numbers. I mean, we're talking of at least 200 pilot whales. Often we get, you know, 50s and 60s when we've had beachings in the past, especially during the 80s when there was a spate of them. But at this point, John, it seemed a bit unusual. So I'm not sure whether or this is just because there was such a large pod there to the south and they just happened to hit the coastline, or whether or not because we've had these unusual weather patterns, the Indian Ocean and the Pacific Ocean temperatures are all very different right now, and certainly the Southern Ocean south of Australia, the temperatures are warmer than normal. So if that's also messing up the navigation of these whales. But outwardly, John, it is unusual to have something of this size as far as the number of beachings. But I think what's going to be the real tell in this case is if we do get even more whale beachings in the near future, if we continuously get these, then we might be able to say that there is certainly something going on with the ocean there south of Tasmania.
Jeremy Zakas, he's in New South Wales. It's time for my cricket lesson. England, the team that was humiliated at Ashes in the summer of 2022, is performing very well in Australia. Well, Jeremy will explain. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.